Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who is your daddy and what does he do, Dan? Welcome to another episode of Happy Hour-ish on Exotica TV. Episode 19 for those that are keeping track. I'm your host, Jay. This is my best buddy, Dan. Hey, Danny boy, what's happening?
What's up, hetero life bait Jay?
That's right. How you doing? How you holding up, man?
How you doing?
How you doing? Who is your daddy and what does he do?
I was the director of the interior under President Johnson.
Yes. Yes, you were. That was, I wanted to pick one of your more prestigious titles.
You wore hammer pants to your eighth grade graduation.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Both true facts. So,
happy National Raspberries and Cream Day.
Is that that's where we've sunk? That's where we're at
it's
now?
That. It's also National Lighthouse Day, International Beer Day, Battle of Boyaca Day in Colombia. And or if you're watching, what's that show, 90 Day Fiancé, the one guy with Colombia.
Colombia.
That's the way he says it.
I fucking love 90 Day Fiancé.
And it's also Purple Heart Day. Dude, because of you.
Does it make me a bad person? Yeah, I think it might. But you know what? I don't give a shit. Like, I'm sticking with it. I'm so through 90 Day Fiancé. I've seen all the shows. So I got nowhere to go.
I haven't seen all of them. I just started. Well, I got sucked in, you know, from you guys. So
sucked.
It's just fucking. It's
Dan
just
got
all
sucked. Sucked.
Not by you.
Sucked.
So thank God.
Yes.
What else?
What
have you been doing today, Jay?
You know what I did today, Dan? Got up this morning, went to chiropractor because I believe in that kind of voodoo medicine. I then went over to the office. We've been spending a couple of days a week back in the office, so that's kind of nice. Today I snuck over there for a little bit. I did some baking.
You went to the office to bake?
Yes. Yeah.
What'd you bake, Jay?
I just baked stuff, you know.
I
just crispy green stuff. Rice Krispie treats. I made some Rice Krispie treats with Chex Mix. These intermittent trips to Vermont over the course of this week or over the summer have been a fabulous thing. And so, yeah, we're loaded up and ready to go. And in fact, I will be back on the road again next week.
Great.
With a new laptop in hand, though, because
that's a good idea.
The old one.
Can we afford a new laptop?
No, we cannot afford a new laptop. The business can't. I can't personally. But you know what, Dan? I did it anyways. You know why? Because I invest in myself.
You know what? I invested in my 130th Amazon Prime order today of the year. 130 this year. My dog has pig ears coming to her soon.
130 orders. What did we do without Amazon? Like, remember back in the day when you wanted to buy something online and you bought it on eBay?
I want a wish list. I want to be like one of our guests tonight. I want a fucking wish list.
Seriously.
I'm going to put on pig ears there.
You need to show your butthole more.
A cover for my little Blackstone grill thing. You know, and I got a house full of people, by the way, too, because that fucking tropical storm or hurricane whose name I can't even say. What is it? Isa?
I don't know. I don't even think I heard the name of that one.
Dude, it's fucking, you wouldn't believe what here in Jersey, what it is. Jersey's not built for hurricanes.
It's not shittier than it usually is it?
Dude, it's fucking pretty shit. And, you know, I'm the only one who has power, so everybody's at my house, you know? So, I mean, and look, I love having everybody here, my family here and everybody, but my girlfriend and everybody, but it's just like fucking, you know, she's at work. My brother's here. I got to talk nice. My daughter decided to come over for today from her mother's house, so. Cause she was bored over there, so she's here. Three fucking dogs. I'm losing my fucking mind.
You should eat the dogs.
No, I will not. I do have whiskey. I have weed. And we.
Cheers, Danny boy. To 19 episodes.
To 19 episodes. Next week's our 20th
episode. May there not be 19 more.
And it's nice, Jay. Actually, both of our guests showed up tonight. Both. It's amazing.
The fear of God in the last week. Last week, I think
nobody will ever cancel on us if they ever book with us again. But after that one, but look, I mean, I don't even know, you know, what to say. I mean, both of these lovely women have been with us for, you know, a long time with Exotica. Because one we haven't seen in a long time. She was going through some shit, but she'll inform us. And the other we were hoping to see a lot more this year because she was supposed to be our dungeon mistress for the interactive Exotica dungeon. But let's just bring him in, Jay.
Bring him in, Dan.
The one, One and only, Kelly Shibari and Madam Skin Diamond.
Hello.
What's up, everybody?
What's up? Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome to
cheers.
Happy hour-ish. Because it's the 19 episodes, does it mean it's been 19 weeks of quarantine?
It's been actually more than, because we missed an episode. We took a week off because we had Delisa and technical difficulties.
So we didn't. I mean, we're
like 20 weeks in.
It's been a long time.
I feel like, dude, we talked to Skin like at the beginning of this thing, and now all of a sudden, like, it's been like four months since then. Like,
you guys got OnlyFans to fall back on. You know, your $100,000 a month, whatever the fuck you people are making. You know, we have. You know, we've made on this show $56. I'm sorry.
Yes, Dan.
Buys you some weed.
That doesn't even buy me weed in Jersey. It's fucking $60.
Oh, right, because it's expensive where you are.
Plus tax. So you guys will all see this little thing scrolling across the bottom of the screen. Like, it's going this way, that way. I don't know.
It goes this way.
But it says, just a tip. You can share with us on here on streamlabs.com/exotica. And give us some fucking money so Jay can get a properly operating TV. Afford that laptop computer he already bought. And we have children.
Ta-da! There you go.
We have children.
We have children, damn it. That $55 doesn't get them pizza. No. It's what I need to figure out is, what are we going to spend our $55 on? Like, maybe $65, $70. I mean, we got to make this thing epic. We've worked, you know, a few months for it. So we should blow it in an extreme way.
Pizza and wine.
Pizza and wine.
That's my vote.
It's a steady. Yeah.
You know, it's a nice... There you go. It's hydrating.
So what are, you know, the obvious question, like, now as we're in and out of the quarantine, then back in the quarantine, and things are open but they're closed, and like, people are going back to work but they're not, and schools are open but they're not, like, what
kind
do you
of
like
get? It's kind of like our love life, Jay. Me and you.
It's in, it's out.
You're open,
it's all
but you're
over.
Not.
Yeah.
Your eyes say come hither, but you don't.
Yeah, it's definitely been a head fuck, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I've just been like cozying up in my cottage with my cats, making smut.
Okay. Understandable. And I mean, and so obviously the thing, you know, we did 3 months of Exotica TV shows where we were talking to folks like, is it OnlyFans? I mean, is OnlyFans like the driving, just like every day you get up and you deal with, you know, OnlyFans, or are there other things that you've been doing to keep yourself busy?
I've only started OnlyFans. So I was like, I'm going to get back into the business right after AVN, because I have the most amazing timing in the world. And I was like, I'm going to do OnlyFans and I'll do a bunch of other stuff. And then the quarantine hit. So I've actually been trying to study and learn how to do OnlyFans better.
Yeah.
But you know, I have my PR company, so that at least I have something going on for that.
And what about you, Skin? Have you mastered it? Have you, like, there's gotta be so many like little kind of things that you can do. Do you learn something new all the time with it?
Yeah. I mean, well, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat as Kelly. Like, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to come back a little bit. I'm going to start an OnlyFans. And then the pandemic hit and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you're literally
welcome back to adult 2020. We'll have you back.
I'm in my 30s. I'm not at, like, I don't grasp to the new tech things as easily.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, still figuring out how I want to do it as well. Like, because I, you know, I don't want to do it the same way that everybody else does, but I definitely have friends that have been successful with it. So I've been able to, like, you know. But I actually, I've been using this time also to really harness, long distance slave training, which is something that I had never done before. I had only done in person.
That makes two of us. I've never done that either.
But it's definitely a learning curve. Cause you know, like I can't just hit someone to correct them.
Right.
It has to be more of a mind game. So it's definitely different from what I was training to do before, but it's been really fun.
When you say different though, like, I mean, right. Your classic scene. I mean, you're obviously like in a room with somebody and able to kind of wield that power. Right. But like on camera, It's got to be how long? How did you even kind of come across that, and like, what was the growing process to figure out exactly how it worked?
It was definitely. I mean, I have many friends that had started doing it already, so I was just like, okay, this seems cool, and I definitely learned just from, you know, doing it. I think just. Yeah. You know, learning how to, like, you know, make it more of them doing things while I instruct and that kind of stuff, which is, it's, I mean, it's fun. And it's also kind of,
is it harder, easier?
Because I mean, if I tell them to hit themselves and they have to do it properly, I have to tell them how to do it. You know, it's definitely a little bit more involved in that sense. I can't just rely on my presence and my energy in person, which I do quite a lot. You know, I like to eye contact and, you know, just let things flow that way. But it's been really fun. And I've enjoyed having long distance slaves. And it's also kind of convenient for me because then I can just do it in my room and I don't even have to go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that we're worried the most about. And like, I think everybody in the industry is slightly worried about is like, what makes people come out of their house now? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to,
seriously, groceries and weed. That's kind of about it. Everything else I can order. I can order wine.
Not even weed. You can order weed. I mean, like,
well, I can, but there's like in Vegas, a lot of the delivery places have a minimum order, which is way more than I personally need to have around me. Right. So, if you go and drive through, then there's like, you know, you only need to spend like $30 or something. So. Okay.
That makes sense.
Well, Skim, we had seen you in the beginning stages of Exotica, you know, TV. You came on your Kelly. We haven't seen you in we haven't seen you guys, either of you guys, at a show in a while, but Kelly, we haven't even seen you at all anywhere in like
Welcome back to the public.
Thank you. The public. I know you went through some shit. You want to talk about it a little bit?
So I was like on a roll. I was doing some really great stuff. I was working with Wicked. I got into Penthouse. I was doing like really fun, creative, awesome, big things. And then a month after the Penthouse shoot, I found out I had thyroid cancer. So I was like, okay, I'm going to shut down now. got the surgery. The neat thing is I got to pick my surgery date. And because I'm a perv and a dork, I got to pick 6/9 as my surgery date.
Nice.
Got my thyroid taken out. And then like over the course of the next year, because my thyroid was actually working again. Like I wasn't on a diet or anything, but then I lost 80 pounds. And so then I had to like figure out, okay, everything's all flat and pancakey. So I now got to rebuild stuff. And so that took another year.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. No, it's like,
I feel like it's going to happen to me after quarantine.
Yeah. Well, I'm only kind of like halfway through all the reconstructive stuff because of quarantine and all the doctors have shut down their offices. You know, but I got my boobs in, so I'm good.
Nice. Nice. Well, we're glad to hear. So you're full remission, like good to go at this
point? Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thyroid cancer doesn't really come back because it's just the gland. You take it out and that's kind of it. Yeah.
Interesting.
But they told me, oh, yeah, and it's also a slow growing cancer. So it's not like something that you really, unless you're like far, far along, you really don't need to get a lot of chemo or anything. Right. It's really just a surgical procedure. It was relatively easy. I was in the hospital for like 3 days.
We're glad to have you back. We've had you at a ton of shows kind of before your hiatus and look forward to having you at a bunch more back. We just look forward to anything. At this point, we just want to look forward to a show, period.
Every time I see an email about another postponement, I'm like, ugh.
It's literally.
Gotta go in my calendar.
It's like a template. It's like a template right now. It's like, take out Chicago, put in Miami Beach. Or Miami. Take out Miami, put in. It's brutal. But you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, if people don't realize that, like, you know, we're not going back into a convention center until this shit's fixed. You know, I mean, if anything, we've proven here in the good old US of A that there's no possible way that we can actually like together beat this thing. You need like a shot, you know, because it's like everything else, the American way, it's like, shot. Just give me the quick fix, you know, like fix this shit and I'm going to move on my way. But,
and especially like fans want to meet porn stars. They want to see our whole face. So
exactly.
Yeah,
we've had these conversations because it's like, hello. Okay, so say that it opens back up, right? And like, you know, Chicago's, you know, allowing 3,000 people a day to go through the convention center, and we do that. Like, how do you do that? You know, how do you, yeah, you know, Exotica hotties, like, you know, do they stay on the stands the whole time? Like, after being wiped down, they can't move. Thing,
you Jay, know, the answer is like, you don't do any of this stuff.
Yeah. No,
and Exotica fans are very, like, they're huggy people, you know, like they want to take photos with you, like holding you, and like they're really respectful and they're not super gropey, but they still want to
it's a contact show for sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, honestly, going to talking about that, you know, with the fans or whatever, I mean, do you think like you say they're not super gropey, but you know, basically because you're
pushing out your stuff. Let me tell you about my experiences.
I think it's like different for every girl though, right? Because if a girl's like, you know, super, super hardcore in her stuff, you know, if she's like filthy doing DPs and all this other stuff, you know, I've seen like girls, it's like some are super standoff, you know, the fans are really standoffish and scared. Sometimes they're really friendly. They bring gifts, whatever. I think it all depends on the girl, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've done like blow bangs and gang bangs, but at the same time, on Twitter, I try to be like super nerdy and dorky, and that's my persona. So most of my fans know that about me. Like,
nerds.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna like go out and do gang bangs every weekend.
So my
Skin, what about your fans?
My fans have always been very respectful. I mean, I don't mind, like, I was a stripper before as well, but I think that it also depends on, like, it's not just the girl, like, some person might be kind of, like, a little maybe weird, and you don't maybe want them to grab your boob, but then someone else that you, like, vibe with a lot are gonna
nobody
like,
should be grabbing your boob in the show.
So, I don't know, but, like, yeah, I feel like it kind of goes both ways in that sense, but... Yeah, it's definitely a huge mixture. Like, you see super nerdy people, and then people that just kind of want to get their memorabilia signed for the collection and like talk for a little while and then go on. And then, you know, it's always different, but that's why it's fun, because it keeps.
I always had the guys that were like, "Would you like some water? Would you like some cupcakes?" Like that kind of fan. So I was like, yes, cupcakes are awesome.
I had an idea a while back, and we haven't done it yet. I got to do it.
Is it going to make us money?
Yeah. Once a show happens, okay. I want to run a booth that just sells flowers.
Aww.
Like if you, dude, you know how much money you can make just selling
say
flowers?
Say no more. Stop. Shut
done.
Up. Shut up, Jay.
Well, no.
Don't even mention on here.
We control it enough that I would not sell anybody else. Let anybody else sell flowers.
Getting a flower booth.
Just so you know, we are the official flower. By the way, my stepdad, he runs a flower, or he owns a flower shop. So there you go.
So it's kind of like, you know, like those girls with like the basket with the roses that walk through like New York or whatever.
Listen, the thing is like there's always that guy in every room. Like you put that bouquet of like 100 roses up for like $700 or whatever, some dude's going to buy that rose, you know, buy that bouquet of roses. Like you just... When we did the Fanny Awards, you guys were both around, I think, during those, when we were like in Atlantic City and doing the shows.
I have both of them.
Do you? There you go. So that's right. You were a double Fanny winner. We sold tickets and Dan talked me into doing like front row tickets for some obscene amount of money. And I was
by talking into him, it was big. Jay, we should sell the very front tables
for like
$1,000 a ticket.
And I'm nobody's like, gonna
nobody's
pay
gonna
pay that. Like that's crazy.
Oh, no,
that's
how.
And then the first like 10 tickets bought were literally the people buying the tables at the front. Yeah.
Yep.
So Dan was right. Dan, I'm giving you credit for Christ's sakes.
Thank you.
Take it and fucking like it.
I'm not used to that.
I did have an idea for get around the, like, if we were to do the convention, even though there's still some stuff going on, a fun way to take photos with fans and still, you know, socially distance, just have them in the foreground and then they can like hold you in their hands.
I love that so much.
So like I would do that.
Skin, that is an amazing idea.
What is stopping
and vice
us?
Versa. right?
But what is so stopping us from
the miniaturizing? The fan could be on our hand, or we could be on their hand.
Exactly. You could be like, do you want to be held, or do you want to hold it? Yeah.
What is stopping us from getting a ray gun and miniaturizing all of you and just carrying around a suitcase of all of you and just putting that
in
all
the pictures?
You know
what's funny? That actually reminds me. Skin, you may have had this. Like, we had a Sammy, our social media girl that works at all of our shows. She's little. She's like this little tiny kind of like peanut, right? And one of her things was like, she never really drank. She never was too wild. She's like, my biggest fear has always been that somebody would just pick me up and take me. Like, I'm small enough.
I think
I've
heard her say that.
You can just like pick up a 90-pound person and just be like, you know, if you're a 220-pound dude, like, you know. And it was the craziest thing to ever hear anybody say. I was like, I've never actually like thought of that. And then you look at her and you're like, yeah, somebody could fit you in a suitcase. Like,
you know what's a really good idea?
Like,
not abducting women? Yes, that's a great idea.
Here's another idea, right? We build like this box, like almost like not a, like a Barbie, like an action figure box.
Right.
And it's got the plastic there.
Right.
So you could go in there and be safe. And it like says like porn star or something on it, you know, action figure, put your name on it. You guys go in there and the fan stands next to you.
And you could be like the Barbie and the thing. Yep. Like, see, and that's the beauty of this. Like, as fucked up as all of it is.
The beauty of this is that we're fucking high and we're figuring this shit out.
The real test will be in 6 hours if this is a good idea still. Tomorrow morning. Everybody's, hey, you ever been there? You have those, you know, you're like, whatever you may be doing or trip you may be on, like, you're like, this is the greatest idea I've ever thought of. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, what the fuck was that? Like, seriously? Did I actually think that would work?
Are we allowed to unveil our like new little venture's name?
I don't care.
Which one?
Well, we're just doing. Look, we're just trying to do anything right now to survive. God knows when we're doing a show again. We're hoping it was going to be October 3rd in Rosemont. We're probably unfortunately going to have a call this week with them, and then Jersey. Who knows? But yeah, we just don't know when it's been. And fuck, it's been 9 months since we've had a show.
Yeah, I was looking forward to DC. Like, that was the one I was like, I want to go to that one.
So wait, you know, and it was like crazy. So anyway. Yeah, we're just like trying to figure this shit out. So we have this new idea. We're launching a merchandise company, and you know, it's called Mr. Zilla.
There you go.
Yeah, but just a name that means really nothing but everything at the same time. And you know, we're gonna do some cool ass T-shirts with like, you know, merchandise for, you know, stars like yourselves, you know, things like that. Some other cool shit. But anyway, like our original idea, we came up with this name, and we weren't really in love with it or anything. And just going back to what a magical, magical thing this is. It's like a magic wand. I got high as a motherfucker. I passed out. I woke up 15 minutes later, called Jay. I got the fucking name.
This is true. This is actually...
Jay, how did Exotica start? On a scale from 1 to 10, how high were you?
Very high. No, you're right. No, it was... my buddy Ted and I were sitting on a laptop at my computer. Like, hey, you know what? We can pretend to be these guys, right? All right, cool. Like, we'll fake it till we make it. And,
okay, hold on. You
know.
You were sitting with Ted watching porn?
No, definitely no
porn. You just said we could be like these guys, so you were obviously looking at porn.
No, like, we were looking at Erotica LA. Erotica LA was this, like, crazy-ass event that went on out in LA. ABN owned it. Cool. It was an amazing... It was an amazing show until it wasn't an amazing show anymore. And...
And now all we have in LA is AdultCon.
Oh yeah, now you got AdultCon. You know what? Fucking.
Have you ever been to AdultCon, either of you?
Oh, I went to it
once.
Did you? Yeah. So let's hear your AdultCon experience.
Take just one time to go.
Once.
Does anybody ever go twice?
No.
My most memorable thing from that was buying a painting from the booth next to me.
Was it
Link?
That was
like the funnest thing that I did. We
used to get, oh my god, that dude Renault, he
was it a Velvet Elvis?
The dude that owns AdultCon used to, like, when we first started, he would every time we'd put a new exhibitor up on our website, he would call them and he'd be like, I can't believe you signed up for that show. They have nobody. There would be nobody at that show. And like, and just like went on and
me,
on and
I
on.
I have this greenish suit and this roller bag.
Yeah, it was pretty. No. But that was also, you have to remember too, like, those were the days, like when we started this thing, AVN in Vegas was fucking huge. Like, I mean, it was at the Sands Expo Center. That shit was like, they had double-decker booths. They had 250,000 square feet of space. Like, it was a monster show. And Erotica LA was purportedly doing 45,000 people through the door, which means like, you know, 12, maybe, no, 20, I don't know, something like that. So they were getting real numbers. And so there was a lot more, we had all kinds of competition for, you know, the first 5 or 6 years that we started this thing. And now it's kind of, you know, we've specialized in it so much now that it's like, once you learn it, you kind of, there are very few cities that are trying to do an Exotica that we're not trying to go into, you know, like, yeah. And mm-hmm. so we kind of have the corner on that.
I think it's really a lot like all the websites that are up right now, like all the OnlyFans and the OnlyFans adjacent websites, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Just for Fans or Loyal Fans or whatever. At a certain point, like everybody's trying to compete in that. And then eventually it just kind of peters out into like one or two that does well. Yeah.
Some of you guys may remember when we first started, Hot Movies was our presenting sponsor. They were like everywhere. Hot Movies was like the thing. They were from Philly. It was awesome. Then they lasted through like 2011 or 12. And we got sued for Ladies Free Friday in California. And so interesting story. The men's group that sued us, his former member of that men's group was the one that killed
Jeffrey Epstein.
The one that killed the judge's son in the
bedroom, right.
And the shot the husband, tried to kill her. He was a member of.
I'm not surprised it was a men's group.
Yeah, and so they
they're like a bunch of meninists because they're upset that they couldn't get in for free.
Yes. So we went through that and Hot Movies got sued because of it, because they were our presenting sponsor. Wow. And that was like at the end they were like, all right, we're cool. And then
I love the Hot Movies people.
They were awesome. They were
Hot Movies for her. You know. Yeah.
Those were how do they
feel right now?
Feminist stuff, so that was kind
of
cool.
How does Hot Movies feel right now? Because every file photo of Ron Jeremy has arrested or whatever is in a Hot Movie shirt.
God damn! Talk about the worst product placement of all time. Like that shit was like, hey, we got our shit on Ron Jeremy all day, every day. Oh shit!
Oh,
like
no.
What did we do? You know.
I think they have. Was it them or GameLink? Like one of them did like. Dinner with Ron,
right,
or something like that. That was like a.
Did he fall asleep during the dinner?
You hope
probably
that he fell asleep
like 18 different times.
Oh my God!
And it's in the news again this week because there was an LA.
I saw that this morning.
LA Times article that came out, and it sucks, man. It sucks to see, you know, all of us kind of, you know, as a collective whole. It sucks to see, you know, Exotica.
He's the representation of it, though.
He's
the poster child of the industry right now.
The one thing I will say is, like, you know, with all of that stuff, like, we were the quickest to act. We were the ones that, you know, uninvited or agreed with.
I think you guys were the first that got the complaint.
We told him he was no. We that was before we even got a complaint.
We got pushed. We got pushed like when.
Well, no, but we heard about it. But I'm saying nobody came up to us after an incident in first person and said, "Hey, this happened."
Right.
To
that
me
that was the biggest like problem with that was like that spot where it's like you hear about stuff on Twitter weeks and months after. Right. And it's like you hear it and you're just like, dude, OK, so security, did you guys hear any of this? No. Has anybody heard any of this? No. All you have is like this, you know, boiling Twitter following. And it was, you know, we walk a fine line of, you know, listen, at the end of the day, if we take anybody that's accused in the industry of something bad and say you can't come in here, there's going to be a long list of people. Everybody gets accused of something bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's one of those things. At the same time, you know, how do you make sure that this doesn't happen again? And you'll notice, like, our code of conduct and all of that stuff that we do, the quick tech security codes and stuff that we have, we're all in response to a lot of this stuff and the Me Too movement in general. And so... we were definitely nudged in that direction. And like when Ron started showing up in our social medias, appearing at the show, we got a lot of like pushback from it. And mm-hmm. we were able to kind of take that, understand what was going on. And then at the end of the day, like we had to make the decision. We put the code of conduct in knowing that Ron would violate it in the first minute of the first day that he walked into the show and we'd throw him out. Right. Yeah. As it was, he didn't make it to that first show because we...
Well, no, we just told him, we basically said it was like, you know, you are no longer welcome at the show. Why not? Yeah. Because we don't feel that it's a, you're a good representation. Right. And
we're not gonna ban you. We're not gonna go to the media and scream about how, you know, all of this stuff. We're just agreeing that you are no longer appearing at these shows.
Well, what do you mean? Okay, I'm gonna come. No, you're not coming, Ron. We're agreeing that you're not coming. This so, isn't open for discussion. You're not gonna come, right? Okay, great. And yeah. then all this other shit breaks. And you know, look, it's sad that, you know, I mean, the saddest thing is, you know, what is surfacing now of the, you know, the women that he, you know, hurt and disrespected and, you know, what they went through and everything like that. And I don't give a shit if it's, you know, an adult, you know, dentistry, freaking, you know, car sales, whatever, you know, shit, any, no walk of life. I mean, that shit just doesn't go on. That's not how any of us were raised. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, look, Exotica is a place for everybody. Stars,
cats,
you know, stars, no cats, no. But star, no pets are allowed except for service animals because we have to allow those. But no, I mean, we are all inclusive, right? We're all inclusive. You know, we try and represent, you know, every facet of the industry, every niche.
Why can't everybody just get along?
Oh yeah, when Erotica LA or AdultCon, whatever show Renault was doing was like no BBWs. Like you guys were like, come on in. Like you guys were great.
It took me one show, honestly, one day of one show in 2006 when we started this thing. I had this idea that, you know, like I was a 26-year-old kid, had no fucking idea, like, you know, within the industry of like what was what. And I had my own ideas or misconceptions of like what it was. And it took,
and then he met me.
And it took one day of walking through the show and realizing that like even something that you are not remotely interested in has such a huge fan base of people that are remotely interested in it. And things that you are into, other people don't give a shit about. Like, you know, there literally is, I think that with Exotica, the most valuable people that come walking through the doors are the ones that like, that are different. You know, you can go get your picture taken with, you know, 200 adult stars, but that one girl that walks in that's 6'8" tall and is like, you know, can pick you up and like squat you is the one that I'm going to get my picture taken with. You know what I mean? It's like, that was the outside of the norm is definitely like,
well, and I think it's fun for the fans too, you know, like the industry fans, like they might, you know, come in. Like when I first got into porn, I didn't realize plus size porn actually even existed. That was like my first reaction when somebody was like, you should try porn. I was like, there's no fat girls in porn. Because I had never seen it, right? Because like cable porn doesn't show, at the time wasn't showing plus size, and I wasn't raised with that. But then you go to like a show like Exotica and you see like fetish people, and you see like people walking around with diapers because they're into that kind of play. You see plus size people, you see, you know, rubber doll on stage. Like it's a little of everything, and it's so much fun.
So
which kid, what was, I'm sorry, Jay. Skim, what was like the weirdest thing? Like, I mean, you've seen, you know, because I mean, one of our top things at the show, we asked like the people surveyed what they come for, obviously the stars, but one of the top things is people watching. So from the people watching, you know, state of things, like Skim, you go first. I mean, what was like the craziest thing you've seen at one of our shows? Like you've seen some fucked up shit.
I love how you say that.
Skin was in the dungeon, so she sees it all.
Skin looks like a fucking like a evil like Bond villain stroking her cat sitting there.
Yes. I've seen some fucked up shit. I feel like I've seen more fucked up shit at like the after parties, because that's when people really relax. And that's when you really see some shit.
Wait, I'm usually ducking out of the after party. As soon as Jay shows up, I'm out of there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm fucking old.
Yeah, because there's letting your freak flag fly, and then there's drunk letting your freak flag fly, and it's like a completely different.
There's a lit up convention center, and then there's a correctly darkened after party. You know, right. That's how that works.
Yeah.
I But this is going along what you guys are saying. This is why I love sex positive communities, because everyone is so like for each other. It's like, that's weird, but cool. I'm glad that makes you happy. You know, it's why I fell in love with the fetish scene.
Absolutely.
But I think the most surprising thing I saw was, and I'm very aware that some folks like to use real dolls and things like that, and they become very attached to them, and I'm all for it. But I think one of the most surprising things was when I saw someone with their real doll in a wheelchair taking her out to the convention, and I was just like, oh, I've never seen that.
Nice
before.
To meet you.
Cool.
And your name is?
God, I love it.
Mine is always like there's those people, but there's also the guys that show up at every show.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Shout out to Thomas Manning. we have like
the guy who carried the old guy.
Wait,
the older
Dan,
guy that
hold
carried
on a second.
The guy that carried him on the cooler with the Polaroids. Yep. Yes.
He actually had him open.
Yes,
that.
Exactly who I'm talking about. He goes
his
to every
play,
show.
His the igloo playmate.
Yes,
we actually asked this him one time what was in there, because we were like, after a few years, we were both curious and afraid to ask him what was in there. Like, it might be like some kind of human organ or something, but
just Polaroid.
It's his Polaroid camera.
Yep.
He used that as a camera case.
Yep.
But that's probably like that guy's like some evil genius.
So he used to always, he's everywhere, and we were he would always call 5 times a year, whether he got a real person or a voicemail, and he would be like, you guys need to do Exotica Atlantic City. Atlantic City is the place. Like, it, I got a week off in February. I could make it to Atlantic City. He would leave these voicemails, and we subsequently did Atlantic City. And when I signed the contract, like, this is one of the things that, like, I don't think the fans like realize. They just look at it like, oh, it's just some big business, and like, nobody is really paying attention to me, and they send mean tweets and they do the stupid shit that they do. And it's like, no, that like I signed that contract and was like, Thomas Manning is going to be an excited motherfucker. Like, this guy, like, as I'm signing the Atlantic City contracts, like, there's one random attendee that I just knew that he was like, and so I remember he called like the next day we announced it, and he was just like, I told you Atlantic City would be great. I told you, Yeah. Interesting.
And that was a good show. It was a fun show.
You know what's crazy is, so we were talking, I think were we even on the air yet when we were talking? So my girlfriend and Jay both got me into watching this 90 Day Fiance, because what the fuck are you going to do during this shit? I have no problem. I will surrender my man card, but this shit is fucking awesome.
I have yet to see that show. I hear
there's
it.
There's this one guy, 90 Day Fiance.
It's
Yes!
So there's one guy that pops up on there. This guy's obviously on a webcam site. What's his name?
Oh, the dude for the Russian chick that like ghosted him like 5 times, what's and then she showed up the fifth.
Somebody answer us in chat what that guy's name is. There's got to be somebody else that watches that guy there.
Crazy wig.
Richard?
I don't know.
Anyway, I saw this guy. He lives in Vegas, so be careful, Kelly. But we saw this.
It's okay. I never leave my house, so I'll be fine.
And I'm like, I've seen this motherfucker. He's been at our shows, I think. He's definitely been at AVN.
But we said
AVN.
That about the Tiger King guy, too.
New Tiger King. No, I met the new Tiger King guy, the guy who owns it now.
Yeah, yeah. The one that took it over. The one that always wears, like, the Oakley hat or whatever that, like, took.
Is that the husband of the.
His, like, business partner or whatever that came in and kind of like.
I don't know. He's
Jeff,
the guy that
Jeff
wife or
something.
Jeff.
Carol's partner.
No, it's on the other side.
Anyway, I've watched this 90 Day Fiance. And by the way, Jay, I want to have either Big Ed, Sweaty Eddie, or whatever we call him, or I want that other guy, Ericky and Larissa, that we all want those two on.
No, let's get the hot chicks on.
Anyway,
I want to get the dudes that actually, like, it's all stereotyped, right? It's like middle-aged white guys that are relatively wealthy that go down and find, like, a 19-year-old girl in, like, the Philippines or whatever. Or you get, like, the older gentleman that, like, is the going for the Russian chick that whatever. Or my personal favorite, the old white women that go after Nigerian dudes.
That guy!
Yes!
I have to look for that one.
Dude.
He has a dare. He had to do a dare or something.
That's what I'm saying. And like, but the thing is like half of the time you're like, I think they're real. This dude would not be going through this. I mean, I guess, listen, if you live in Nigeria and you're like on the streets, like who cares? Like, I guess you could just.
No, but this guy who's, you know, has a little bit of money, he's like 60 years old. I think his name is Rich. He's flying to fucking the Ukraine to meet somebody he met off of Wifery Camp.
Those are the rich old white guys.
But wow. he doesn't say that. Oh yeah, we have video. Oh look, she sent me a smiley face emoji. She loves me. And he goes over there. He's been over there like four times, and she's ghosted every time.
That's the best. He's like, so I've tried to meet up like four times.
Oh, so I saw a clip of that on Facebook.
So I went to the Ukraine. Yeah. And she, you know, she had her little nephew's soccer game, so we couldn't meet up. And you're like, you flew to the Ukraine, and she couldn't meet you because of an 8-year-old soccer game.
Or
like,
there was a chick that went over to where the hell was she, like Connecticut or something, to Australia to meet up with another chick that she fell in love with.
That was the YouTube chick,
Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Except. She had never been with a woman before. So, and then she goes all the way to Australia and is like, it chickens out and doesn't want to do anything.
Have any of those relationships actually worked out, or do they all just crash and burn?
I don't know, but they show like the little cutaways. I do know.
I do know because I've watched 90 Day Fiancé after the show. And let me tell you.
There's another show called After the Show. So,
the funny thing is they have like, once it went popular, like anything else, it's like, hey, how can we like bastardize this and like make money? And so they have like before the show, after the show, opposites attract, this and that. Like they have a million different things.
Wow.
But yes, every season has one couple that has a chick that is just smoking hot. Like that, you know, is like the model girl that like, and
I disagree. Not any of them that I've seen.
Really?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not out of my mind.
Or maybe I have lower standards than you. I don't know. But
I don't know.
But no, it's a train wreck, and I enjoy it. You know what? Honestly, I enjoy TV sometimes that you can just like turn on and not think about. Like you're just like
But that's how I am with like home remodeling shows.
Yeah, really.
I'll leave like Chip and Joanna Gaines playing in the background while I'm like doing shit because
I actually love
that. Because I like home remodeling myself. So I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that's a cool idea.
So Skin, are you home remodeling, cooking, great outdoors? Like what's your go-to like TV genre?
I thought you were asking me.
No.
Oh.
Skin.
Go-to TV genre is probably going to be fantasy or any kind of like other world. Like I want to go to another fucking world.
Doctor Who shit?
Like Doctor Who or Harry Potter. I've been reading the books again, which isn't a show, but they're better than the movies, damn it. And but also I do like, I don't know, I hop around a lot. I did like the that Real Housewives show. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty funny, the Hollywood one. I didn't watch a lot of it, but I watched enough to be like, wow, this is really hilarious.
It's, you know, we have another episode or another show on BoobTube or on Exotica TV called BoobTube every night or every, what is it?
Carrie.
Tuesday nights? Yeah.
Jay, you are beyond fucking high right now. Those fucking brown, those Rice Krispie treats
I know.
Kicked in.
And so yeah. Last, Luckily, this or this week's, right this right? week's, what's that?
It's so red, right?
Well, no, it's, you know what's funny?
I didn't even get red on weed. I thought that was like a booze thing.
No, I think my camera is like oddly, see the exotic?
You're like slowly getting like a sunburn.
No, you're like, dude, you're like red as can be.
Oh.
You make me want to get my weed.
You should get your
weed. Yeah, you go get your weed.
Okay.
Seriously. You go get your weed.
I have to shoot later, so I can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, I'd just be like, I'll be taking
so-
a nap.
While she's running around, so you've been doing a lot of OnlyFans, right? You do Clips for Sale also, right? And
well,
Sex Panther.
Been around forever, right. But I'm old school, right? Like I'm 48 next month, so I'm an old school. Like I enjoyed the studio system very much. I am not technically inclined when it comes to cameras, so it's just been kind of a learning curve. So Sex Panther and OnlyFans is kind of like where I'm focusing my learning on right now. And then hopefully I can move on from there. And maybe the studio's open back up by then. Who knows?
So you guys both, and I know, Skin, last time we spoke to you, I know you, a few of us have musical backgrounds here, but I know you guys, I know you, Rhodey, and Skin, you were working on, you know, your own stuff, right? Your own music?
Yes.
Where's that at?
I've been working on it for the past couple of years. It's definitely been one of those processes where you start something, you take it to a point, and then you go, you know what? We're going to start all over again. And there's been a lot of that.
Fuck it. We'll do it again.
But right now I've been working on an album that is a little bit more on the hush, but it's a completely different style than, I've released previously, which is why I'm waiting till it's completely ready. But, in the meantime, I'm going to be releasing some, unreleased demos, some of my favorites from the past couple years and past projects that we're not maybe going to put out, but I think that they shouldn't sit on a hard drive. So those will be going on my SoundCloud, which you can access on my website, raylandjoy.com.
And then, so Kelly, I was reading in here that you were a roadie.
I was. So
for what bands or?
So when you're a roadie, you also tend
I used to be a tour manager for bands. That's okay, why.
So then you know this. So you have like the road crew, and then you have like the local crew. So okay. I learned how to be a roadie in college. It was actually part of the college work study program because they had an arena on campus. So like my very first show, I was actually having this conversation a couple days ago with a friend of mine. My very first show that I worked local crew for was Public Enemy Anthrax.
Nice.
Right?
And I worked for Rush Artist Management, who helped put that together.
Oh, wow. So I did that, and then I did, you know, basically any kind of tour that would come through the college, I worked local crew, so I have a whole bunch of local crew backstage passes from that. You know, so you kind of, you don't stick with one genre, you do like, MC Hammer came through, so I'm like completely showing my age. But we also had like John Tesh one year, you know, and like Trisha Yearwood, but you also had like Smashing Pumpkins and the Black Crow. So like, it's just a little of everything. And then I actually went on a tour for a year and a half, for Nickelodeon, which was Rugrats.
Were you a Rugrat?
Dude, you just spoke my entire childhood right there.
I got to play Reptar because Reptar was a 26-foot-tall dinosaur that got pushed across the stage at the last 5 minutes of the arena show. And this was like a live show. It wasn't on ice.
But
it was, and basically the premise is Reptar comes alive at the end and terrorizes Angelica, if you know all the characters on Rugrats.
I do.
That completely makes sense that Reptar would be terrorizing Angelica. But basically, I was in the prop department and the touring scenic artist, so I had to like touch up all the paint on all the props and the set, and it was kind of cool because Mark Mothersbaugh did all the music, so he came by during our rehearsals. But basically, I had to sit in Reptar's butt during the last 5 minutes of the show as like 10 carpenters pushed me across the stage, freaked out the entire first three rows of 5-year-olds every show. Because I'm like sitting there and I'm like operating the arms, and there's like a fire extinguisher next to me so you can blow out smoke, and there's like a button for like his eyes to light up. So much fun. And then the movie came out, and so we had to cut the live show because the movie was less expensive.
Looking at Jay's expression right now is amazing. And yeah, I feel you, like in between tours or whatever.
I walked, but no. Thanks, Dad. I walked back in the list of like music right into Rugrats, which was like, you and I are right on the same wavelength with it. So
yeah, my thing was like, I was a tour. I started out like working like local bands and stuff. And, you know,
Dan was a groupie for the Rugrats.
I joined IATSE, you know, the union. So I would do show. I would do the shows at Giant Stadium and, you know, the Meadowlands Arena. So I was there like front and center. And then I just like for like the Grateful Dead and Steve Miller Band, which was horrible. Metallica for freaking Bruce Springsteen for a million shows. It was just like a cool shit. But then, but I was also on the road with a bunch of bands. And it was cool because I got to see places. You know, I mean,
we got to do Meadowlands. I think that was one of our spots.
Yeah, I mean, I worked with it was like mostly like hard rock bands. And the one band that I worked with was a band called Law and Order. And they were like, this hard rock band from New York. But they were managed by Rush Artist Management, which is Russell Simmons and Lior Cohen. You know, so it was like, so they were like the token, like the only rock band. Later on, they managed Biohazard, Evan Seinfeld's old band. Sorry again, Tara. They had later on another band, but it was all like hip hop acts. I mean, it was like Public Enemy, and you'd be sitting in the office and like Chuck D comes in, or Run DMC come in, or Jazzy Jeff came in, in the Fresh Prince, those guys came in. I mean, all these guys started there, so it was like, it was cool. And then it's just like weird, and when you talk to in the adult industry, right, there's so many people that came over from the music side of things, a lot, or share music with it. So I think it's cool. I mean, we can't wait, Skin, until you get your shit going and we can hear it. And it's like, hopefully, we talked, about maybe someday, like when Exotica comes back, we want it to be more badass than ever, and we're going to try and make it badass. So, you don't care, you just want to come and have fun,
Fuck yeah. Well, I'm really excited about the things that I'm going to be releasing just on my SoundCloud for free. Even though they're demos, they're really, really fun, really cool.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm really excited. It's just been, one thing that is talked about, but not as much as it should, I think, is just how fucking healing music is, it really does take you out, just listening to music, creating music. I mean, even if you can't make music, just listening to music can completely change things. So I think it's really cool.
We started doing this show. We had the first few weeks on the happy hours, we would have just from Jersey, local musicians just come on here and play a tune. And it was really cool. And then we had Constantine from
American Idol.
Remember Constantine Maroulis?
He was actually an awesome dude.
He was in Rock of Ages on Broadway too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that show actually lasted an hour and a half. We were just sitting there talking and shooting shit. And he was he was totally macking over, who was it? Ray of Sunshine.
Yeah,
that night or whatever. And we had my buddies was in a band called Trickster back in the day.
Oh,
and
my God, Trickster.
PJ Farley, the bass player, he's actually playing. He's on tour right now. They're actually doing some shows with Fozzy, Chris Jericho's band. But it's like,
Skin, I agree 100%. I am a live music junkie, and regardless of what kind of music, whether it be, bluegrass to R&B to fucking hip hop to rock and roll to jam bands to whatever, there's something soothing about going, not just you go to a concert and you're there with a bunch of people that are there specifically for the same reason you're there for, and it's kind of a magical experience, and it really, it's such a bummer, man. I had my summer shows scheduled out, set, ready to go. And at the end of the day, it's definitely just one of those huge missing chunks in the world, to not be able to go out and see those things.
Bieber will be back in 21.
Did you know that Justin Bieber's light guy is Fish's light guy?
No.
Wow.
There you go. So
raise your hand if you gave a fuck about that little tidbit.
Nobody would. But the beauty of it is, Dan, when I go to that concert, I leave your kind of horribleness behind, and I go to another bunch of like-minded people that are there doing the same exact thing.
You guys all ate the same fucking tab of acid.
What was the last show you went to see that you can remember before we couldn't go to shows anymore?
Fish at Madison Square Garden, December 30th. Yep. And MSG is an awesome venue to get out to. That was...
Dan is probably very similar, but do you go through a phase where you're like, why do I have to pay for a ticket? Because I got to a point where I was like, I work backstage at so many shows, I'll just wait until a concert that will come through town.
I have the whole thing, and I'm pissed. The week that everything went into quarantine, I stopped going out for a while before that, because I'm just there's not many people I really want to see. And week that everything shut down, I had tickets for that week. That Wednesday for Ann Wilson from Heart. playing like this cool like theater by me. I mean, she's just amazing. And like that weekend, I was supposed to go see my buddies in Blind Melon. That was the last band I tour managed. Before Shannon passed away. But, huh?
Now I need to see you in a bumblebee outfit.
No, I wasn't the bumblebee.
I was not the bumblebee.
I was supposed to go see those guys, play somewhere, and I was like psyched because I hadn't seen them in years. The guys that are still in the band, for years. So. And that shit got canceled.
It's all went away.
I think it was my last show that I actually saw. Oh, I think was either Ace Frehley from Kiss or Zach. No, it was Ace Frehley from Kiss. I saw him do a show. It was freaking horrendous. But
I know there's a couple of people, especially like DJs, are like going and doing these like drive-in theater shows.
A lot of musicians in general are doing it now. Yeah, they're
doing that here.
You sit in your car and then you get to watch them play on like the big screen.
Yeah.
But you're self-contained in a car.
It's something.
But it's cool. Like for VIP parking, like the place that we were supposed to go see Ann Wilson from, is like a not-for-profit like county theater in Jersey, and they're struggling now. And they just had to figure out too what to do. And they're going into like one of these giant mall parking lots, and setting up like drive-in concerts in August. And what is it? The one, who's it? Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. And they got like a comedian there. I forgot who the fuck the comedian. Oh, Jim Brewer and like some other shit. Like a Grateful Dead tribute band one night, a Queen band another night.
They're doing it
for a car of five people. That's nothing.
They're doing it all over the country, and it's it's a cool adaptation, and I think I'd love to see it like continued. But at the same time, like it's only a Band-Aid. I'm happy to go, but you need walking into a club or like a concert venue or whatever, like the feeling that you get is so much different than like walking into. A drive-in. The drive-ins are cool.
What was the last concert?
How do you guys feel about driving to our shows? And
how do you feel about doing Exotica drive-ins? Yeah,
and just have a stage that we're just standing on.
Yeah. No.
The last show that I went to see, last year I ended up winning tickets to see Ariana Grande at Staples Center, and then I also
how do you win tickets? Where it was like a radio thing.
No, it was Global Citizen. Okay. I entered for a fluke because I was like, I really want to see that. a Global Citizen is this thing where you do activism work and you earn points, and then depending on how many points you get, you can enter to win to see concerts,
which I guess does not happen anymore.
But after that, I came into tickets to see Bikini Kill at their first show in fucking forever, and that was crazy.
Bikini Kill. Amazing. I don't know them.
Last concert was a couple of years ago, but it was Janelle Monáe at the Palms in Vegas, and it was so great because the Palms is such an intimate space. But the best part was I went down there by myself because I don't know a lot of people here locally, and I didn't at the time. And I was like, I'm just going to go down there, buy a ticket, just go in and have a good time. And as I walked up to the counter to purchase my ticket, their tour manager just so happened to be walking by the box office with like a handful of comps. And like everybody had already gone inside and they were like, oh, do you want one? So I got to go in for free. It's like the best thing ever. An amazing show.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome.
Oh, man. I'm ready for it, man.
Introvert, like I'm a hermity ass, like introvert, stay at home. I go out if I only have to, but even I've gotten to the point where I'm like, it'd be so nice to kind of like see somebody,
versus like those like bullshit, like kind of. We have friends here in the city and we'll go like meet in the park and you stay, a certain distance away and you have a conversation, have a drink, like whatever. But I just want to like sit down and chop it up, just like not worry about
go out to dinner, like go out to dinner where it's not outside in 102 degrees, and just go out to dinner and have like a real meal and shit, and go out and have drinks, have fun, go travel, like just go somewhere, anywhere but here,
or even best go back to Exotica.
I have so many travel plans for this year to like shoot at like really cool places, and I just all out the window. I'm listening.
Yeah. I just, you know what would be the best? I would love right now if they could just say, we're doing a reset. Like January 1st, everything's going to be good. You know, we've gotten this thing figured out and like we're whatever. If you could just give us a date, you know what
Imagine
I mean?
Imagine that New Year's Eve.
That day to work towards, you know what I mean? Where it would just be like, you know, but unfortunately that's not the case.
We'd blow up the world on New Year's Eve though. That's what kind of idiots we fucking are.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Welcome. It's just crazy.
I'm back in Japan right now. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Trust me. I've spent half of the summer up in Northern Vermont and, I'm like half an hour from Canada. It would just make a quick run. Like just, I mean, we would take a snowmobile trail like through the woods and I'll be in Canada and I should be safe. But I got these freaking kids. They drag me down.
The nice thing is I already had a bunch of masks before we were told to wear them because I'm Japanese.
my first, do you see that flash?
What the fuck was
it's
that?
It's all lightning.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, Jay's in Philly. I'm in northern New Jersey, so I'm about 2 hours south of me. So that's coming to me. I can't lose power again. It's the worst thing ever.
It's like crazy out right now.
I can hear it.
Thunder and stuff is like.
Keep going. We can't see.
Completely changed.
It's
a nice skylight, though.
Thank you.
He just wanted to show the skylight.
This is my hideaway.
He's got a glass floor, too, Kelly. Look, he's got a glass floor like underneath. See, look behind him.
With still open.
Yeah, what is that floor?
He's got disco lights under there, and he turns it into like freaking Dance Fever.
It's a glass floor.
Go on, Jake.
It looks down through the house. Yeah.
You see, I thought it was like he'll get girls to like walk around on top, and he's like, oh, I gotta go downstairs.
Which is all a great idea in Exotica World, except for the fact that outside of like say some interviews and four weekends a year, I deal with like an 11-year-old daughter. And an 8-year-old son. So yes, it might not have been thought through 100%. I don't know. It's
I don't know. If you have any pets, because pets would be amazing on that glass.
We don't. You know what's funny is
his wife's lemon tree behind him. That's about it.
We had dogs forever, and right before we redid our house and we're doing this whole project, our dog died. We were like, we'll wait until the house is done, then we'll get the dog and like whatever. During all that time, we realized we don't need a dog. Like, it's, you know,
there are three dogs in my house.
We travel so much, and like, it's just, I miss having a dog. This is the first time since I was like 12 that I, you know, haven't had one. But at the end of the day, like, if you're, you know, traveling a week or two a month, like, not probably something you should, you know, unless you're able to just
fostering. Because I don't know if I can adopt outright, because who knows when the quarantine is going to get lifted and I'll start traveling again.
Right.
And I don't like doing that to a dog. Cats seem to be a little bit more understanding of you being gone for a weekend, but dogs just freak out.
That's because cats
want you to be gone.
Cats don't give a shit about you. They're just like, all right, whatever. No.
Wait, hold on.
Does your cat care about you?
When I was traveling a lot, I remember I had my case open. The gray one that you see that's like obsessed with me.
Right.
Why are you so obsessed with me? Anyway, so I had my case open because I was unpacking, repacking, you know, the deal. I was probably doing Exotica or something. And that motherfucker peed in my case.
You're going to smell me everywhere
you go.
Okay. So that, but that's spite. I'm talking about love, like the opposite. Like, Jesus,
I saw that.
Dude. Shit's
everybody,
crazy.
If Exotica TV goes away or whatever,
it's been nice
sorry,
seeing everybody. Yeah,
apologize. Yeah. Make sure you visit these ladies at OnlyFans on your social media. But continue. I'm gone.
Oh my God, man, I'm in the bell tower right now. I might.
But that's
die.
Kind of why I'm thinking about fostering, because you know.
Yeah.
I have a better idea for you, Kelly. Ready? So I have my dog really doesn't like other dogs that much. She's very selective in her company. She thinks she's a cat actually. Mm-hmm. But why don't you do rover.com?
What's rover.com?
Take care of people's they stay with you, they're dogs. You get paid like money for them.
The problem with that is then you have to deal with the humans.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The animals.
The problem. That's so That is 100% true. Anytime that you can cut off like the human interaction out of like a dog thing, it's the best. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like that. So, you know what? Before Jay gets electrocuted here and his computer blows up, we better freaking wrap this thing up. And it has been an hour-ish. It's an hour and 6 minutes ish. So.
You did it. Congratulations, ladies. Nice guys, job. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. Skin, remind everybody where they can find you on social media.
You can find me Instagram, RayJoyCats, Twitter, Skin_Diamonds, and you can find all of my music on RayLandJoy.com. Just go to my Instagram. There's links for everything.
That's what's cool.
And Kelly.
I've been saying this for over a decade, but I am extremely stalker friendly. I'm Kelly Shibari everywhere.
There very rarely do I get to put up like one line of text and like all the logos
Kelly
next
Shibari,
to it. Yeah.
Kelly Shibari. And then the website with the links to all of like my OnlyFans, my Sex Panther, my clips for sale and everything else is clubkellyshibari.com.
That's some OG shit right there. All right. Awesome. Thank you
and
so
Jay,
much, guys.
You're right. They can find us. They can find us at Exotica, at Exotica TV. And everywhere but Instagram, because Instagram has pulled the plug on us. They hate us. My weekly plea, you thought I wasn't going to do it, Jay. Anybody that can get us our Instagram back. With
what's
our
the bounty up to, Dan? What are we willing to pay?
What week is this? Week 19?
19.
$1,900.
Okay, there you go. You're a mad
get
man.
Get it back.
It's all coming out of Dan's paycheck.
We'll be back next week. who do we have next week? I think we have April O'Neil next week.
Okay.
Oh, I love her.
She's awesome.
April O'Neil, and I think, and Alex Cole, I think, next week.
Holy cow.
Oh, cool.
Jeez.
Here on the happy hour. Guys, go to exoticaexpo.com to see our rescheduled dates or our dates that are probably never happening in 2020. Unless you people start wearing a fucking mask.
Wear a fucking mask.
Seriously, not that hard.
Wear a mask. Like, go to their OnlyFans.
Oh my
stay
God.
Stay safe. What else are they going to do, Jay?
They're going to stay sexy, Danny boy. Have fun, everybody. See you guys soon.
Bye, everybody.